Well, it's great to be with you this morning. If you would take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. This morning we're going to look at some things that God had Paul write to some new believers in Thessalonica. So we'll be going to the book of Thessalonians, but first we're going to look at Acts 17. And when we get to Thessalonians, there's great learning there, and hopefully it will inspire all of us. The reason we're going to Acts 17 is because this gives us a background of what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. This is when Paul, very first time he went to Thessalonica. So in Acts chapter 17, and of course Acts 16 is when Paul was in Philippi, and there was a whole bunch of trouble there. He was beaten, thrown in jail, all that. So, Acts 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Thessalonica is in northern Greece. That area in the Bible times was called Macedonia. Southern Greece, where Athens and Corinth were, is called Achaia. So, I'm not telling you that to impress you, because it will come up in when we read in 1 Thessalonians. So just so you have a little, remember that, okay. Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days, that'd be 3 weeks, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And of course, that has to be the Old Testament Scriptures, because, you know, we have the wonderful church epistles. The very first church epistle that was ever written was 1 Thessalonians. So no church epistles had been written. So he's reasoning with them out of the Old Testament Scriptures, opening and alleging, verse 3, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So he was preaching to them that the Messiah, the Christ, had come. And he's preaching in the synagogue. And some of them believed. Doesn't say a whole bunch of them believed. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, Gentiles, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. So a few from a Judean background believed what he taught. But a whole bunch of Gentiles that have no learning of the Old Testament believed. So, like, yay, that's cool. But then, verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Doesn't sound like the people you want to hang out with, right? And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. We heard about this Paul guy and all the crap that he does. They're turning the world upside down. Actually, Paul was turning the world right side up. Verse 7, whom Jason, yeah, Jason's getting into this thing. Jason hath received, and these all do, okay, here it comes, contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Let's just stop for a minute. What is Paul doing? He is preaching God's word. He's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ so people can get saved and born again. He's bringing them a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Information that if they believe it, they can get saved. They can get born again. They can get eternal life. Well, who would be wanting to stop this? What, those certain Jews that moved with envy? Who's trying to stop this? We always have to keep in mind the bigger picture. It is a spiritual battle. And it will continue to be a spiritual battle until Christ comes back. God's desire, we know from the Scriptures, is that all people would get saved and get eternal life. and come to a knowledge of the truth. Our adversary wants no one to get saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And whatever and wherever and whenever something is hindering God's word, our adversary is behind it. Because it's a spiritual battle. It's not because somebody was in a bad mood today. And of course, using the political arena, very effective. And even today. So, verse 8 again. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Trouble there means to agitate, to cause mental commotion or anxiety, to disturb them mentally. And when they had taken security of Jason, meaning they bailed him out because he was actually arrested, and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into witness protection so no one could ever find him again. No. He did just what he's been doing, as his manner was, went right into the synagogue there in Berea. Berea is about 50 miles from Thessalonica, so 12, 16 hours, depending on how fast you walk. And verse 11 is interesting. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These is referring to the Jews in the synagogue in Berea. In Thessalonica, there were a few that believed, but here in Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Therefore, many of them believed, means they got born again. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few, a bunch. Oh, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Spiritual battle. They would travel 50 miles to go stop it down there. It's none of your business. Stay in your own town. Who's behind it? It's a spiritual fight. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians now. Shortly after Paul was in Thessalonica is when he wrote this epistle to them. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, Paul went to Berea, was there for a while, then went to Athens, the whole incident on Mars Hill. From there, he went to Corinth. Corinth is also in southern Greece. And it was when he was in Corinth that he wrote this epistle. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silas and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I think that's one of the verses Dave Bailey covered on Thursday, giving thanks always. That was a wonderful teaching. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith or believing and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, of your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. We just read about it, right? With joy of the Holy Ghost. So that you were ensamples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia, northern Greece, and Achaia, southern Greece. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, your believing to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Man, what a great verse that is. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. They turned, let's read it, verse 9, turned to God from idols. And then it says to serve the living and true God, not to accept him. Okay, there's a higher power somewhere. You can call it God if you want. They did more than just accept the one true God, more than just praise the one true God. They are serving the one true God. And it's interesting because it says serve the living and true God. The other gods are false gods. They're fake gods. And they're dead gods. People bow before a statue. Statue's dead. The Bible says they have eyes that see not, ears that hear not, nose that smells not, mouths that speak not, and those that make them are like them. That's what God says. So isn't this just awesome? Imagine getting that kind of a letter from Paul after he'd been with you for 3 weeks and then short time later he wrote it. Quite an acknowledgement of the quality of their Christian walk. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of believing and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We're going to come back to that verse in a little bit. In verse 6, we read, you became followers of us. That's a choice, even in much affliction, right? In verse 7, you were examples. The word examples says ensamples. That's Old English. We put examples. The word can also be translated models. Model believers that others could follow. A standard, a benchmark, if you will. Verse 8 says, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. Paul didn't need to talk about their believing God, because everybody else was. Man, oh man. Prior to Paul getting there, they were idol worshipers, and in such a short time, their examples or models of believing, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but all over the place, serving the one true God. We read about the, in Acts 17, about the opposition to God's word. And, you know, verse 6 here said, they received it in much affliction. There was mental pressure. It would have been so easy in Thessalonica to go, yeah, I don't think I want to get involved with that. I don't want any trouble. You know, I'm just going to live my life. Look at the stuff that's going. I don't think I want to get involved with that. I don't want any hassles. But they did. These guys did. And then we keep reading in chapter 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And that contention means to be where someone is contending against you. It's opposition. So he obviously told them what happened in Philippi, which was horrible to Paul. But here he's telling them that we were bold in our God to speak unto you the word of God. Do you think all that stuff stopped in Thessalonica when Paul left? Oh, no. No. Always got to see the big picture. It is a spiritual battle. And so Paul knows it's a spiritual battle, and that's why we read in here in chapter 2, he wanted to get back and see how they were doing. Verse 17 says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Doesn't say how Satan hindered us, but the Apostle Paul wanted to get back up to Thessalonica to see how they were doing. Once and again, but he was hindered. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus. So he's telling them that when they were in Athens, he just couldn't wait any longer, and so he was going to stay there, but he's going to send Timothy up to Thessalonica. And verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort or encourage you concerning your believing, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. He didn't want them to be moved by these afflictions, moved off of God's word. For verily, verse 4, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer or endure tribulation, mental pressure, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Because the adversary always wants to steal God's word away from you, to just yank it out of your heart. Verse 6, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us. This is a cool verse to look at. So Paul is talking about when Timothy got back. So Paul in Athens sends Timothy there. Meantime, Paul gets over to Corinth. Timothy comes back and gives a report on what was going on in Thessalonica with these new believers. And this verse is kind of cool because it's a you, us, us, you, us, us, you. So watch that. Verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also see you. Isn't that beautiful? It's just a beautiful verse. And so back in verse 5, he said, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote by revelation, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul wrote that to the Corinthians. In Ephesians, God's word said, don't be children anymore, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but grow up. In Colossians, God's word says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The scriptures are just very clear that we've got to be sharp or the word gets stolen from us. There's another place. Keep your finger or a marker here and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. See another one of these. 1 Peter 5. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 5. Familiar verse, but we'll read it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Have your mind clear. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary. Oh, that makes it really personal, doesn't it? It is. He is our personal adversary. And will be until we get gathered. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast, how? In the faith, in the right way of believing. Believing God's word, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one going through it. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered or endured a while, this is what God will do. He will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, at the very end of this 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, don't get tricked off of God's word. led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow, keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Back to 1 Thessalonians 3. And we can understand from looking at those other verses why Paul said what he said in 1 Thessalonians 3. For this cause, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He didn't want them to get tricked or talked out of God's word. So these epistles are wonderful, and there is, of course, in both of these epistles, Paul reminds them of things he taught them concerning the return of Jesus Christ, as well as the day of the Lord, which is the day Jesus Christ will do the judging, and that is not going to happen until after the gathering together. But I want to show you something in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, if you turn there. I'm really grateful for the wonderful research that Reverend Cummins has done for many, many years, 40, 50 years. I'm real thankful for his two-volume set, A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles. And specifically, verse 3 of chapter 1, which he does some great work on that. So, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Those three nouns, faith, love, hope. We don't see it in the English, but all three of those nouns have the definite article, the word the. So it would be, if we could see it in the English, your work of the faith and labor of the love and patience of the hope. When the definite article is there, that sets the noun apart from all others of that kind. So we would say, and we do many times, the right way of believing as opposed to all other believing. And also, the three nouns in that verse, labor, work, and patience, also have the definite article. And they are prefaced with the word your. And in that case, that distinguishes those items in that those actions are related to the Thessalonian believers as opposed to all other people. The work of you, or it would be your work, you, as opposed to anybody else, your work. Let me repeat that. The three nouns, faith, love, and hope, all have the definite article in front of them. The work, the faith, the love, the hope. And with it there, it means the right way of believing, the right hope as opposed to all other hopes, the right love as opposed to all other loves. And then with the other words of labor, work, and patience, with your in front of it, distinguishes that those Thessalonian believers. No one else. That's who he's talking about. And Reverend Cummins gives this translation of verse 3. Constantly remembering your work of the right way of believing and your hard labor of the right manner of love and your patience of the right hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. What a fantastic thing to say about these new believers. Holy cow. From the Working Translation, verses 6 through 8. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, but with joy from the Holy Spirit. Thus you became a model for all those who believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In fact, from you, the word of the Lord sounded out not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your believing with regard to God has spread abroad, so that there is no need for us to say anything about it. New believers. Holy cow. This is what God thought of them. So, how? How did they get to that point? What is it that... Well, here's a great key in chapter 2. How did they get to that point? A really great key in chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They had no doubts. This is God's word. That's what they acknowledged as Paul shared with them. No doubts. We're all in. They didn't criticize. They didn't argue about it. They didn't just accept certain parts and go, well, I don't know about this other thing he's talking about. Nope. They believed it was God's word when Paul taught about the complete salvation and redemption we have from the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed it was the word of God when Paul taught that you have received the Holy Spirit and you can operate all nine manifestations. They believed that it was God's word that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to gather us together. They accepted what Paul taught as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually works also in you that believe, and that word of God will work effectually in our hearts when we believe. It's a very trustworthy word. So how did they get to that point? There's a great key right there. It's God's word, period. No doubts. No, don't bug me about this is what God's word is. One more key in chapter 5. This is kind of cool. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the this is right after that section we're all familiar with. Going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that's not the gathering, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. You know perfectly. That indicates that they had not forgotten what Paul taught them. I don't need to write to you. You know perfectly. You know this. Perhaps, I don't know, but Timothy came back with a report from Thessalonica. Perhaps he told Paul. They're very solid on the return. Absolutely. If you remember, the Corinthians weren't so solid on the return. Paul reproved them and said, what's going on? Some of you are saying the resurrection's past already. What? What's the matter with you guys? Sit down. Let's go over it again. You know perfectly. They had not forgotten. That shows us that it's a great key as to why God had such praise for them. They stayed strong in the basics. They were not moved by any of that. They hid God's word in their hearts. And that takes effort and commitment. It's a choice. It's a choice to do that. So before I close with a couple remarks, I'm going to play a short clip of a pastor, Wayne Cordero, I think is his name. I heard this on the internet. And It's a short sharing of when he was, of an incident of when he was teaching in China, which he's gone over a few times, which is not exactly safe sometimes to do. But when I heard this, it reminded me of the Thessalonian believers. It's short. It's about 4 minutes, all right? And then we'll close out.
Let me finish with this story. We go to China from time to time, and we train leaders. And this time we brought up 22 leaders from the Hunan province, and they rode 13 hours on a train to get to a hotel that they came up two by two in these elevators so as to not draw any attention. And then they got to a hotel room, a little apartment room. It's only about 700 square feet in the little living room, no air conditioning, hardwood floor, 22 sat there. I came in, and when you teach in China, you start at 8 in the morning and you don't get done till 5 at night. You teach the whole day. They were sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around and I said, now, if we get caught, what will happen to me? They said, oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, you're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith? Out of 22, 18 raised their hands. I thought, no way. And I looked at him and I said, you 22 people, how many people do you oversee? Because they were all of these small group leaders, underground church leaders in the Hunan province. I said, how many, if you counted up all the people under your jurisdiction, how many would it be? And they counted them up and they said, little over 20 million. I said, what? See, we forget there's 1.3 billion people in China. This is crazy. Well, I had 15 Bibles and I passed them out. Obviously, 7 didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway. And as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. She just recited the whole chapter. When it was done, I went over to her at a break and I said, You recited the whole chapter. She says, oh yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize so many chapters? She said, in prison. She said, you have much time in prison. So I said, but don't they confiscate the Bible? She said, yes. So people bring in scriptures written on pieces of paper and they bring it in. So I said, but then if they find that piece of paper on you, won't they confiscate that? She said, oh yes, that's why you memorize it as fast as you can. Because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I thought, wow. Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. And you guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you? They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you? And I looked at him and I said, I will not do that. Big, incredulous eyes looked at me and they said, why? I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that we become like you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you.
Great sharing. I would encourage you to read maybe this week both Thessalonian epistles, remembering the backdrop from Acts 17. I think they'll not only inspire and encourage you, but something else you'll see is that even though they had reached a great level, according to God, model believers, even though they had gotten to that point, God's word to them was not only to praise them, but also God exhorted them to keep growing and increasing. Get to the level of being a model believer where God just praises you for your walk and the quality of your walk. It's not the pinnacle. Keep growing as far as God's concerned. And if you have this book, Open My Eyes That I May See by Reverend Gear, there's a wonderful teaching in here. The Thessalonians, what a wonderful church. And there's more insight than what I've shared here today. And if you don't have this book, get it. Full of great teachings from the Bible. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word and how inspiring it is to see those young believers of Thessalonica. Father, how we can learn from their great example to believe you, to trust you absolutely. Father, thank you that we not only have the books of Thessalonians, but, Father, we have the whole Bible. And that, Father, we have also your wonderful Spirit within us, and a great hope looking forward to Jesus Christ's return. And until that time, Father, may we continue to put forth the effort to continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of your wonderful word. I ask you to bless everyone here, everyone that's on the hookup, and those that couldn't be here. Thank you for your love for each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.